Hey family, thank you so much for joining us here on our YouTube channel. We pray that this sermon touches your heart and changes your life, that you and I would all be conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus. And hey, if you want to continue to see more Word like this and help us get this message of truth, this message of Jesus out to a hurting world, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. I want to encourage you to be one of our truth partners. And you can do that by texting truth partner, one word, to 53555 today. And help us get this message of truth out to so many broken people. You and I and the whole world simply need Jesus. We love you. Thank you for being a truth partner. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon. Subscribe. Ring that bell for future notifications. God bless you.
Wow, I feel God in here. I don't know whether it's the weather or what. We need 65 degrees in March every March. You guys really love the Lord. You're in church and it's 65 degrees in March? You really do love it. I was in, I forgot where I was last week again. They said it earlier. Indiana. I was in Indiana last week with Alexander and Matt, and I was preaching on parenting. And man, I missed you guys. Did you enjoy Pastor Joe Dobbins and all of them that were here? Did you enjoy? Weren't they beautiful? Just wonderful. But there's nothing like being home with my family. And so I took Alexander with me because when you have eight children, one of the things that's very special is one-on-one time. And so I took him with me, and I spoke on parenting, and the pastor was gone. He was out of town. And so the associate pastor, I asked him, I said, would it be okay if just me and my son went to lunch? I said, I'll take care of it and everything, but just to have some one-on-one time. And he said, oh, that's fine, no problem. So we went to a restaurant, and so... And at the end of the meal, we went to pay, and the server came up to us and said, somebody's paid for your meal. And I said, oh my goodness. I said, who was it? They said, it was that family over there. So I got up and I walked over to the family, and I told them, I said, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your generosity. That was just so kind. I didn't expect that at all. And I said, I said, were you at service today? They said, yes, we were at service today. And they said, Pastor, what you said changed our family. This is what they said. What God spoke through you completely changed our family. And this is what they said. They said, we were so thankful. We just wanted to bless you. And I got in the car and I told my son, I said, I want to point something out to you. I said, do you see that the proper response to thankfulness is generosity? This is the right response. When you are truly thankful for something the Lord has done in your heart, the biblical and proper response to that is generosity. And I said, something's broken in the hearts of people when they stop being generous. When you stop being generous, you have stopped being thankful. And this can trickle into your whole life. Some of you have stopped being generous to your spouse because you've stopped being thankful for them. What does your spouse owe you? I'll tell you, nothing. They don't owe you anything. And the reason you have stopped being thankful is because you think they owe you. Yeah, you're supposed to do that and this because I do, blah, blah, blah. No. They don't owe you anything. Everything they do for you or your family, you should be thankful for. That's where you say amen. You should be thankful for that. And so when you live in thankfulness, you become more generous towards your spouse with your words and your affection and your compliments because you are thankful. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you did this. Wow, this is unbelievable. You cooked dinner. I didn't expect you to do that. Wow, I cook dinner all the time. I know, but I'm just so thankful that you did this. You know, you don't have to do this. this is a real blessing to our family. And I want to tell you how much I love you and how wonderful you are and you what a gift you are to our family. Oh my gosh. And now healing begins to flow and love begins to flow and intimacy begins to flow because all of a sudden you have become thankful. This is what happens in God's house. There's no way that you should be able to come in God's house, see dozens of people get saved, see people healed, delivered, partake of the table of the Lord, and not be thankful. Be thankful for the cross. How many of you are really thankful for your salvation? You know, we kind of are thankful at the beginning, and then we forget about that. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's like it's your wedding date. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, I need to go back and look at that every now and then. No, no, no. You should be thankful for the cross every day. Every day. You should realize I was a sinner going to hell, and Jesus died for me. What is the response? I mean, what is the response to that? It has to be generosity of my love and my words and my affection, my time, my talent, my resource, all of it. Take it all, Jesus. And so when it comes to generosity, I think something is broken in our heart when we can come in God's house and not be generous. Amen. It's quiet. I'm not going to stop because the Lord told me to do it. The Lord literally told me to tell you about this. I got in the car and I told us, I'm going to tell the church this when I get back. And that is the heart. So when something, you go, I'm not generous today, you stop being thankful. And if you are not thankful when you come to church, you will get nothing out of it. Enter into his gates with, he said, when you come in here, you come in, he's not talking about how you come in the building. He's talking about how you come to him. How you come to Jesus has everything to do with what you get from Jesus. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So are we thankful? That's how you come in his presence. You can come in the room and not be in his presence. And that's how it happens. You come in here, you're not thankful, you're not generous, and you will leave exactly how you came. You will leave exactly how you came. Because this is just a room without his presence. And just because you came in the room doesn't mean you came to him. So I want you, when you come to church, to be thankful. I want you to get up thankful. Can I get an amen about that? I want you to wake up thankful. I want you to come in with thanksgiving in your heart and not make the worship team have to like cold start you. You're trying to start your car in the cold and it's like, don't want to start. That's how some of y'all are on Sunday morning. I want you to be hot and warm when you come in here. Oh, I've been worshiping all morning. Praise God. Oh yeah, I got up today at 5 in the morning. I got up today at 4:30 and was with the Lord. You have to be with him before you go to work. You have to be with him before you come to church. Can you imagine the atmosphere that would happen here if we all got up today and prayed? Like, honestly, can you just imagine like what would happen if all of us had spent time with Jesus and came in here after spending time with him? How many of you know when you spend time with him, it changes you? Changes your heart because you're thankful. He makes you thankful. And so I want to encourage you, when you come in God's house, come with thankfulness. And you will practice generosity. Oh my gosh, how can I help you? Let me serve you. Oh, do you need help over there? Oh, how can I do that? What's going on? Andrew, do you need help? And Andover, I see you talking about a campus. Is there something I can do? Is it 4:30? I'm typically just sleeping on the couch at 4:30, doing nothing, feeling overweight and out of shape and awful about my lunch decision. Could I come and serve the body of Christ at 4:30 and redeem those calories by setting up and tearing down and praying for people? Praise God. This is what comes in your heart when you're thankful, not, oh, good for other people. That's great that other people want to serve Jesus, not me. No. You. This is what comes. This is Moses had to stop the people from giving because they were so thankful because they had been delivered from slavery. This is the heart. of thankfulness. Is what this is how you know you're saved. You have the response that Saul had when he was knocked off his horse and blinded. He said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Until you are dictating to God how you will serve him, you're not saved. You know you're saved when you're like, "What do you want me to do? And I'm yours." As long as you're like, "God, I'm yours for 1 hour a week, every other week, with 48-hour notice in written form, I'm yours." No. This is not the heart of God. Amen? So everybody say, be thankful. Turn to your neighbor and say, he is talking to you. You need to pay attention. Praise God. So I want to say, can we actually put our hands together and celebrate our giving family, all those that give and serve, our serving family, all those that serve and give, thank you. I never let a Sunday go by without saying thank you. So let's all lift one hand. You know, people give a lot of different ways, whether it's online or in the lobby, however you give, thank you. But let's all lift one hand and say like you mean it. Say, today in Jesus' name, I sow a seed of faith into good ground. Let it bless the kingdom and let it bless my life. I rebuke every spirit of debt, lack, want, and poverty. And I release the favor of God, the blessings of God, joy, peace, health, healing, creativity, courage, entrepreneurship, blessing, and unity over my family and over my life. I prophesy all of my children, all of my grandchildren will spend eternity in heaven with me in Jesus' name. So we have Palm Sunday coming up. The kids are going to sing. Easter is going to be on Saturday and Sunday. We have Good Friday and lots of services on Easter, but I want you to register for these because we need to make sure there's a lot of people coming with parking and our kids. Y'all have a lot of kids. My Lord. So we have to make sure we have, you know, the proper people to watch them. So if you would, I know when you ask people to do things like this, they don't want to do it, but you're an obedient church. And when your pastor asks you to do something, you go, "Hey, Matt, I can do that for you, pastor, and the team." How many of you love your staff? How many of you would love to make things easy for them this Easter and they're not stressed out trying to figure out how you're going to bring your 32 kids to church and which service? So you're going to go on and register. Amen? Psalm 73:25. Says, "Who have I in heaven but you? There is none upon the earth that I desire besides you." Jesus has to become your heart's desire, church. He has to become the thing that you burn for, the thing that you desire the most. Martin Luther, who lived 1843 to 1546, makes this statement. He says, "The true bride of Christ, I do not want what you have to give Jesus. It is you that I want. You are no more dear to me when I'm doing well, nor less dear when I'm doing poorly." It can't be the things of Jesus that we want. It has to be him. He has to become the thing that you burn for, that you love, that you run after, that you pursue. It has to come down to love. The Bible says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Everybody shout love. Love is what makes heaven, heaven. That's what makes heaven, heaven. You want your home to feel like heaven? Love one another. You want your marriage to feel like heaven? Love one another. You want your children and parenting to feel like heaven? Love one another. And he's looking for a bride who is not totally absorbed with her own personal sorrows, but will identify with his and enter into fellowship with his sufferings. So many people in church are consumed with their own sufferings, their own pain, that they never embrace the pain of their bridegroom. Lest we forget he's called the weeping Savior. He still weeps today over those that are lost. He's still mocked and humiliated and ridiculed. How many people know we live in a world that ridicules our Lord and our Savior? Philippians 3:10, I want you to learn this verse and memorize it. That I may know him. How many of you want to know him? Three of you. How many of you want to know him? I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. How many of you want to know him and the power? How many of you are thankful for Easter? Right? The power of his resurrection. And, everybody say, and the fellowship of his sufferings. To know him. This is where he says, if you want to reign with me, are you willing to suffer with me? God will take you through sufferings. He is not a God that is shy of suffering. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when he listed his credentials for what qualified him for ministry, he didn't say, oh, well, I started so many churches. Oh, you know, I wrote so much of the Bible. Or, I did this, I did that. I've done these miracles. None of those were his credentials of why he listed he's qualified for ministry. You know what he listed? His suffering. Why are you qualified for ministry? I was shipwrecked. I was stoned twice. I was boiled in oil. They tried to kill me, ridicule me. They've taken everything from me, mocked me, and humiliated me. This was his qualifications. What are your qualifications for ministry? What are your qualifications for the Lord to use you? Your checking account, your degrees, your gifts. You think God's impressed with your gifts? He gave them to you. God's not impressed with your gifts. If you're gifted to play an instrument, God's not impressed with that. You're gifted to sing, God's not impressed with that. You're just good looking like me. God's not impressed with that. How many other people are gifted, good looking, gifted? God just gave you the gift. You know, God's not impressed with that. What is God impressed with? Your givenness. Your surrender. God is not looking for employees. God is looking for dead people who he can live through. We do not count sufferings as qualifications to be used. The key to suffering is proven to us in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus goes and he weeps, and the guards come to the disciples and they say, which one of you is Jesus? And he goes, the one you're looking for, I am he. And they bound him and they took him away. The disciples made the biggest mistake of their life by not going with Jesus. Why didn't they go with Jesus? They were scared of suffering. And when he walked away and they did not go with him, their life became filled with anxiety and fear, and they hid because they were scared of suffering. And they took Jesus from courtroom to courtroom, accusation amongst accusation, and none. Where were the thousands that he fed? Where were the thousands that he healed? Not one person fought through the crowd to defend our Savior. To say, no, he healed me. He spoke up for me. He defended me. Nobody, even his 12, completely forsook him at the time of need. They fell asleep. Fell asleep instead of willing to suffer. Get up in the morning and spend time with Jesus. I don't want to do that. It's suffering. I know. That's why it's a cross. They should have went with Jesus to the courtroom. They should have went with Jesus to the trial. They should have went with him. Jesus said, take me, bind me, lead me where you want. That's what you got to go to Jesus. Some of you, God has bound you to a job that you may not want. But you need to say, it's a suffering for you. Some of you, God has yoked you to something and led you to some place you don't want to go. God, my suffering is for you. It's for you. Maybe we should start saying those two words every time we feel like we do something that's painful for the Lord. For you. Oh my gosh. I have to forgive this person. For you. God, they talked about me. They lied about me. For you, Jesus. Oh my goodness. We're going through loss in our family. For you, Jesus. I'm going through lack. For you, Jesus. Lord, I don't know how it's going to happen. For you, Jesus. What if all of the sufferings that you're facing right now, you took it and said, God, may it bring glory to you. Take me, Jesus, by the hand. Bind me. In fact, they didn't even come to Jesus. Jesus said, it's me. Take me. I'm the one you're looking for. Bind me. Lead me. See, we don't want to do that. We're like, oh, Jesus, they're going to take you. Yeah, come suffer with me. No, I can't. I don't know you. That's what Peter did. He denied the Lord. Rather than when they see, you serve a God that doesn't stumble into sufferings. When suffering comes, he goes, take me. When pain comes, he says, take me by the hand. When accusations come, he goes, take me to the accusations. That's the God you serve. And you're willing to serve him until he says, take me to suffering. Then you're like, oh, you got to go by yourself there. And when you let Jesus go suffer on his own, your life is filled with worry and fear and anxiety because you're not with Jesus. So any mindset of like, I can live a life without suffering is going to be a life without Jesus. Come on. Do you know why you have so much anxiety? You have anxiety about suffering. Most of your fears are about dying. You should, Christians, we don't fear death. We don't fear. When COVID came out, I never saw so many Christians afraid in all my life. We are the ones that laugh in the face of death. We serve a God who conquered death and the grave. That's such a huge part of our testimony. Read the early church fathers. Many of you don't even know how the apostles died. Read how they were martyred. And they didn't fear death. They said, crucify me upside down. You want my head? Fine. Because why? They saw the resurrection. They knew that Jesus really lived. And they said, I'm never going to let him suffer again without me. See, your heart has to be with Jesus. Now, we're willing to go with Jesus into the raises, promotions, good things, blessings. Oh, look how beautiful I'm single. Look how beautiful she is. Oh, my God. Oh, that's the Lord. I need to be a part of that. No. When it's you serve a suffering Savior, you have to get your head around this or you will live disappointed. There is a cross on this stage. Not a pot of gold at an end of a rainbow. Why is that the symbol of our faith? Why is it the most known symbol on earth? This is an emblem of suffering and shame. Anybody know the song, The Old Rugged Cross? And I cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. This is suffering. This is the life we chose. This is the life. Jesus says, if you want to reign with me, suffer with me, die, so I can live in you. And we want everything but the cross. But you serve a God that will walk and volunteer into suffering. He volunteered to die for you and me. He didn't have to come. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So for you to think, I'm not going to suffer, and God shows me how much he loves me by the fact that I don't have to suffer. No. If you want to be with him, he will walk into pain. And now you have to decide. Are you going to go with him? Or are you going to stay there with fear and anxiety? And spend your life in hiding. What do you do when Jesus volunteers for the cross? What do you do when you're with him and he says, take me to accusations? What do you do when you're standing next to Jesus and he says, take me to the place where they strip me and beat me and mock me and ridicule me and say all manner of evil against me? See, you have to repair the church, because the Bible says in the last days, persecution will come. The Bible says in the last days, the very elite will be deceived. And if you can't stand up for God about your faith, how will you stand up for him when we face end times? You'll just walk away because you do not know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. This is Philippians 3:10. Being made conformable unto his death. Now how many people want to know him? Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It says, but I have this against you. God says, I hold this against you. You hold this against me. Yes, I hold this against you. That you have left your first love. That you have abandoned it. He says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do what you did at first. It's time to get back to Jesus. It's time to come back to our first love. How do I do that? By doing what you can. Mark 4, 6 through 8, when the woman washed his feet, it says, she has done a beautiful thing for me. Jesus said this, she's done a beautiful thing for me because she did what she could. This is the heart of every believer, is to learn to love your cross. Is to learn to realize that I'm not going to be filled with my own sorrows, but I'm going to take his sorrows as my own. And I'm going to weep with the weeping Savior. This is how you produce true worship. This is not a concert that you come to on Sundays. And when you have the Word of God in your heart, the real response is worship. We have to fall in love with the Scriptures all over again. Most of what you know, you learn from social media. You need to get the Scriptures back written upon your heart like you did in Sunday school. Raise your hand if you went to Sunday school. Yeah, look at all the hands. My God. You need to do Sunday school with your children. Wake your kids up and do Sunday school at home. Go on Amazon and buy felt boards. Here's a little Jonah. Here's a little whale. Come on. How many of you remember Sunday school? Teach your children the Word of God and write it upon their heart. How can you be saved for 2 decades and you don't know a chapter of the Bible? At this rate, how much Scripture will you know before you die? How much will you know? Why are you on me about learning the Bible? Because Jesus is the Bible. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with, and the Word was God. Every time you learn a scripture, you put a piece of God in your heart. And you carry it with you. Hide thy word in thy, that they may not sin against God. So we need to memorize chapters of the Bible. You memorize songs. That's all Psalms is songs. That's what Psalms means, songs. There's a book of songs and you don't know them. I could probably play 100 songs on this PA system right now and you all would know them. You'd be like, oh my God, that's my song! And you'd go up and down and be like, hey! Like instantly. Why is that in your heart? Why is that in your heart? How come you know all of it? I'm not saying that you can't know those songs. I'm saying we also need to have the Word of God in our heart so that the Word of God keeps you from sinning. Come on, praise the Lord. And it doesn't change for anybody. Joy Dawson says, oh, my darling, he doesn't change the rules for anybody. The anointing costs what it costs. And it does not go on stale. It still requires stillness and solitude. It still requires a church and the blood. It still requires scripture and repentance, confession of sin and hours of prayer and sitting under a slow drip where it slowly begins to open your eyes and remove the blindness. And you see Jesus for yourself. Asking me to pray that much, that's toxic. No, it's not toxic. It's Christianity. Knowing the Bible is Christian. Praise the Lord. You just got to realize, guys, he comes to us on his terms. We have access to him on his terms. Healing is on his terms. Deliverance, his terms. His presence is on his terms. And he doesn't change it for anybody. And we have to learn to encounter the Lord. We don't need more savvy marketing. We're going to do less marketing as a church than we've ever done. You're going to see less social media posts. You're going to see less everything, come to church or don't. I'm not keeping up with the algorithms. I'm sick of it. I'm going to get a sheet of paper. I'm going to write on it, Easter is on Easter. Join us. Jesus will be there and we will worship him. I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going to post it. I'm just done with it. Well, you post it this time, you get more click rate, and this, that, and the other. I'm so sick of all of it. Like, people either love Jesus or they don't. I'm sick. I'm not trying to grow the church. That's his job. He said he would grow his church. He would build his church. I'm not doing it. You won't kill yourself, do it. I'm not doing it. I just want him. And I'm fine with other people who want him, and that's enough. I'm not doing any more savvy marketing. I'm going to put my 9-year-old in charge of it. What is that? What does that say? I don't know. You need a revelation from the Lord to figure out what's happening. But nobody encounters the Lord on their terms. It's all his terms. It all comes down to him. And I don't care what people say about this generation. Well, this generation X, this generation Alpha, this is generation that every generation needs Jesus. Okay? every generation needs the Lord. And the gospel, so people always want to try to get me to do this. We need to do this because of this and do this. I'm like, how did the church survive for 2,000 years without social media? How did they make it? Oh, my Lord, if we don't post, well, then don't post. My Lord, how did Jesus fill like thousands and thousands of people without Facebook and Instagram? Maybe it was his presence that was enough. Maybe just reading the Psalms every day is enough to change your heart. Well, that sounds mechanical, or it's humble. Maybe it's just humble to think that the scriptures that were imparted to us that kept the church alive for 2,000 years still work and can still change a heart and a life and save you and deliver you and give you a life worth living. Can I get an amen about it? And I'm going to leave you with this last thought before we go. Go with me to the book of Mark. Mark 4. Mark 4, verse 13. And then he said unto them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Jesus is saying, if you don't understand this parable, you won't get any of the others. It's a very important parable. It's like this parable is the ATM access to all of it. So if you don't get this one, he's like, you're not going to understand any of the ministry of the parables. And then he says, a sower sowed the word. While I'm speaking today, Jesus is sowing word. And there are ones that fall by the wayside. What's the wayside? It's the side of the way. It's the Greek of it. What's the wayside? It's there's a way. Jesus says, I am the way. And it's when you're to the side of that. The wayside is when your heart burns for other things than his face.
Come on.
The wayside is when you can come to a room with 1,000 people in it and lift up Jesus and have no desire in your heart to spend time with him tomorrow. That's the wayside. The wayside is you sitting in this room wondering, how much longer till it's over? That's the wayside. That's what that feels like. When is this going to be done? That's the wayside. The seed is falling on the wayside. Why does we even serve a God who sows to the wayside? Because he's generous. And he's just, so that you can't get to heaven one day and say, I didn't know. No. I sowed to people who didn't want to hear it. I threw it to everybody and those who didn't want to hear it. This is what God is calling us away from as a church. We can no longer afford to be a church where the clock is God. The clock did not die on that cross for you. So why is it have your heart, your thoughts, and your affections right now? Give that clock to Jesus in the morning. When is my time with Jesus done? When he's done. Well, I'm going to be tired. He'll strengthen you. Amen. And if you are tired, for you. For you. It's for you. This has to be the heart of believers. And when we spend time with him like that, and we let the word touch our heart, because when we sing and we worship, it's like the rain that softens the soil of our heart. So the seed takes root. And our heart's not hard and stone-like, but soft and pliable. And Jesus shapes you and changes you. This is the heart of a believer. It's not trying hard. It's yielding to Jesus. Can I get an amen about it? This is the heart. And you find yourself in God's house every time the doors are open. And you find yourself being thankful and generous. And it oozes out into your family. And you're not in the presence of God scrolling on your phone. You cannot see Jesus and look at other people. You have to choose who means the most. It's got to be Him. So today, we lifted up Jesus. In song, people were anointed with oil and the sick were prayed for. This altar was filled with people who said, I want to give my life to Jesus. That's what happened. The word of God was preached. The table of the Lord and the breaking of bread was shared. And Jesus was lifted up. This is the church. And I am not trying to make you fall in love with our church. I'm not even trying to connect you to our church. I'm trying to connect you to Jesus. I think if preachers would spend more time connecting people to Jesus than their church, I think people would trust the church more. Quit trying to connect me to your church and connect me to Jesus. That's the heart. Did you get something out of this? Come on, let's stand.
Hey, I know that this sermon blessed your heart. I hope it's been an encouragement to you to become more like Jesus. That's our heart and that's our prayer. He's the X on the treasure map. He is the topic of heaven. Everything is all about Jesus. And I want to encourage you, get up in the morning, spend time with Him, pray, seek His heart, seek His face, and see what He will do in your life. Before you go, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider being a truth partner. And like I mentioned earlier, it reminds me of Aquila and Priscilla, who would help the Apostle Paul spread the message of truth. A couple, a married couple, would just invest to spread the message of truth to so many hurting people. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He is truth. And you can be a truth partner today by simply texting truth partner, one word, to 53555. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to the channel. Click that little bell for notifications. But thank you for your generosity. So many of you give online, you give throughout the week, all over the nation. And I just want to say thank you so much. We're using this resource to continue to get this message of truth out to so many broken and hurting people. And we want to be a blessing to you. And so let us know how we can pray for you. You know, comment below. There's a lot of resources on my website that are available to you. We want you to know how much we love you. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for being a truth partner. We'll see you back on the channel real soon.